Good evening. God bless each one of you for being here again tonight. I trust you had a good day in the Lord. I feel like maybe I'm on a bit of a tightrope this evening. My entire leadership team is here. I'm not sure what all you reported back that I was sharing on, but our deacon, Brother Michael, and a fellow pastor, as also my dad, is here this evening. It's a blessing to see some familiar faces out here tonight. So thank you for that, for coming. I feel the need to make just a comment on the things I've shared thus far. I think I mentioned a time or two that I see things fairly black and white, right? And I share accordingly. But I want to be careful about something. I want to be careful that in none of my sharing, I squash tender hearts. Does that make sense? That I squash tender hearts. I want to tell you just a little bit of my heart tonight in my sharing. And that is, there's ditches on both sides. There's bondage on both sides. You might be the one that just you're content with sin in your life. That's what we talked a little bit about last night, and looking at the Bible and truth and being called away from that. The other type of bondage is always being fearful that you're not good enough. And most of the times, that's people that have a very soft heart and a tender conscience. Brothers and sisters, that's bondage too. We can't work our way into the graces of God, but we must, by faith, accept what He has given us. I wanted to say that tonight. I don't want any of us to be like, man, he's preaching me right into hell. No, if you're right with the Lord, you claim that. You claim it. It's okay. You're right with the Lord. The Bible says that if we repent and if we confess, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's the end. Yeah, we have to continue to grow in Him and live in Him. But especially to young, tender hearts, if you're right with the Lord, you can't work your way any closer to Him. You're right where you need to be. Accept that. And sometimes there's bondage in, I don't know of anything that's wrong, but I'm just not good enough. And is God mad at me? Is He, don't go down that road. That can be bondage as well. But rather, just accept salvation. Such a blessing. Do you ever stop and think about where would you be without the blood of Jesus? That's a terrifying thought for me. That is a terrifying thought for me. Where I would be without the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus that has so much cleansing power that it doesn't just cover my sin, but it washed it away. It's gone. Tonight, I would like to, the message is maybe tailored a little bit more towards our young people, but it was a message that was a blessing for me to study again. And I think there's something here, possibly from all of us, in the Word of God that we must guard against. But just so I have an idea of primarily who I'm maybe not necessarily talking to, but I have a keen interest in this evening. What is the youth group here? If you're a youth age, I don't know what ages that is. But if you're a youth age this evening, would you stand to your feet? Yeah, you too, Zach. You're youth age. Amen. Now I want you to look around. Those of us that are a little bit older than these young people are, I want you to look around. And sometimes we hear a comment that can bother me at times. Look at here, brothers and sisters. This is the church of tomorrow, right? I would like to propose that this is the church of today. You can sit down. Thank you. This is the church of today. You know who the church of tomorrow is? That's my children. They're not saved yet. That's the church of tomorrow. The moment you become born again, and the moment your sins are clean, they're washed away, your heart is clean, you are the church. We must never, ever forget that. Tonight, the title of the message is Separate Kingdoms. Separate Kingdoms. And I'd like to look at several things tonight. I would like to look at how many kingdoms exist. Is there just one? Is there two? Is there five? How many kingdoms exist? I told you I'm a very basic preacher. I'm a realist. What does the Bible say, right? Tonight is no difference. And something else I'd like to point out, I have a heart for change, right? I have a heart for, you can ask the people at church, if I don't, I can preach in 1 Corinthians 13 and I'll somehow get to repentance. You know, it's on my heart. So hopefully you're not getting tired of a call to repentance in different areas. Because that's something that's near and dear to me. Maybe because I've had to do an awful lot of it in my life. I've had to do a lot of repenting. So in however many kingdoms exist, we want to look at what is included in each kingdom. What does it look like? We want to look at what are some areas in present day where the kingdoms have mingled, where they weren't intended to mingle. But I would like to start off, this is not the text, but I'll just read it. I'd like to start off in 1 Timothy, in thinking of young people and the challenges that they have, and sometimes it's hard. It's hard finding direction for your life. Guess what? I've been married 13 years, and it's sometimes still hard finding direction in my life. Sometimes still hard. That never leaves. Never goes away. A constant relying on the Lord. But to put this chapter in context, Paul was writing to Timothy, who was a young pastor. I didn't find for sure, but it would seem like around 30 years of age. And he was the pastor of a fairly sizable church at Ephesus. And it sounds like his age was being called into question. And Paul wrote to him and said this, "Let no man despise thy youth, but rather be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." That's the verse I want to bring out in this. Let no man despise your youth. You know, I'm afraid that to some degree we have adopted the idea of maybe the world and even other groups, without singling any of them out, the idea that young people will be young people and they'll go out and they'll sin, but then, you know, hopefully they come back and they'll live their life in a serious manner after that. And Paul is refuting that here. He is saying, but as a youth, be an example. To those, I'm going to say you, to those of you that are older, even than I, is it not refreshing to see a young person on fire for Jesus? It is, I dare say, it's more encouraging than seeing older people on fire for Jesus, because there's such vigor. I shouldn't say more encouraging, because older people on fire for Jesus, it's just in a different matter. But as a young person, there's such enthusiasm, there's such vigor, there's so much energy. We don't have to partake of this world's kingdom and then get serious with Jesus. We don't have to do that. That's actually a very unwise path to take. I don't have to drink alcohol in order to be convinced that alcohol is not good for me. Right? I don't have to view pornography in order to be determined into my mind that, okay, now that's not of the Lord. But throughout the Bible, it would indicate and it would preach and teach that, but learn from those that have gone before. We don't have to make the same mistakes. We don't have to just go through the same cycle and go through the same cycle over and over again. In your youth, an interesting fact here, Timothy was approximately 30 years old, and Paul still told him, don't let men despise your youth. In my studying this, they stopped saying you were in your youth at around 40. Man, I'm still a youth. Praise the Lord, I'm still a youth for a couple years yet. But it's saying as young people, don't let people discourage you in your walk in the Lord, but rather be on fire. Be an example in faith, in charity, in purity. Be an example. Isn't that powerful? Don't only look to the older ones for an example, but you dig in the Word of God yourself and you be an example. And I would like to look at a way tonight in viewing separate kingdoms that we can avoid some of these pitfalls that the Bible teaches. To answer the first question, throughout all of Scripture, the Bible teaches that there are only two kingdoms. There are two. There's the kingdom of this world, and there is the kingdom of God. There is a heavenly kingdom. There is the kingdom of earth, and the kingdom of God, a heavenly kingdom. Both kingdoms have a leader. Both kingdoms have a leader. Both kingdoms are fairly... Both kingdoms are well organized, and both kingdoms have agendas. The leader of the kingdom of earth is the prince of this world, and his name is Satan. The kingdom of God, the heavenly kingdom, the Lord is our leader. And he gives direction. And one of the things I'd like to bring out tonight is how can the church be following after God when they seem to always just pace themselves behind the world's direction? When something comes out in the world that's popular and grand and fabulous, why is it that, well, no, we wouldn't get it right away, but we'll get it. We'll have it. I'm not talking about, understand what I'm saying, things that mean something, that can deter us from God's plan. So tell me tonight, where is the kingdom of earth? What is its eternal destination? Someone say. Hell, right? So if we are content as God's children, and how long we can stay God's children and be following after the world is up to the Lord. That's not up to me. But as God's children, if we are following, if we are getting our direction, right? And if we're just staying, let's just say 15 steps, right? If we're just staying 15 steps behind the world, and we might even act like we're not even watching them, but we glance up and yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I'm going to keep going. What we're really saying is that we'll just get to hell 15 steps later than the world did. Is that fair? We're going the same place, right? If we are following after the world, if our eyes are on Sodom, then that is our destination. That's my call to all of us tonight is pay attention where you're getting your direction. Pay attention which kingdom is influencing your life. Pay attention. Let's learn from other people's mistakes. Here, after a while, I plan to share my personal testimony. Those of you that know me, you've heard it multiple times. It's okay. You can sit through it again. But It is something that I'm passionate about. And the things that I've been delivered from, I'm going to speak very openly about, okay? So it is a joy. I want to say this carefully, but there's very little shame in my testimony anymore, because I'd rather view it the power of God and the power of His blood that made this man clean. And you know, I believe that in order for young people, this is to us, to those of us that are older, in order for young people to avoid our pitfalls, they have to know our story. We have to be open with them. And we have to tell them what not to do and what to do. What paths to avoid. They need to hear our caution. When the children of Israel came through the river and got to Canaan, the land of Canaan, right? It was beautiful. God said, now hold on a minute. What were they to do? They were to build an altar or a pile of stones. What was the purpose of doing that? So that when your children and your grandchildren say, what is this? You can tell them of the Lord's deliverance. Now let me ask you something this morning. Why are we so quiet about our past? Yeah, we might not want to go back there and visit it. But we must tell those coming after us of the Lord's deliverance in my life. Let's shout it. Yeah, we're not proud of the things we've done. I'm not. But if it can help one young person avoid the pitfalls that I fell into, I'm going to say it loud and clear. Enough of that. One of the things, the text this evening is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18. The verbiage in this chapter is just, I just love how it's stated here. It's said so forcefully that I connect with it, right? And it says like this, and this is for all of us, because it can creep in at such little minute areas of our life. Make no mistake, the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God have very separate agendas. And there's a purpose why we're supposed to be separate. There's a purpose. Let's read, starting in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And here's the plea. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I want to look at several things that give such a stark contrast in this chapter, and I just want to look down through there. There's several. There is the kingdom of God, and the first one, it says, believers and unbelievers. Be ye not unequally yoked, believers with unbelievers. Young people, there's other areas that I'm going to touch in those of us that are already married's life that we can do this. But such a big, monumental area that you don't want to do this is in marriage. My wife and I, we were both saved when we got married. And there was times that our marriage was hard. We had to work through things. But because we were saved, divorce was not an option. So worked through them, we did. And we will again, because there will more come, right? But you see, different agendas. when a believer marries an unbeliever, to the believer, divorce is not an option. But to the unbeliever, there's a different agenda. Let's just get divorced. It's not working. I have heard the heartache of a lot of people that wished they would have chose spouses more carefully. Attraction is something that is an unstoppable force. I don't even know if they have a way to measure this attraction thing, you know. Man, when you're dating or even before, it's just, it's an amazing thing, really. There's nothing wrong with it. We're to be attracted to each other, right? But ask God for who you'll be attracted to. You know, we have a bad habit of, we look on the outward, and either people are tall or short, either they're fat or they're skinny, dark or light. You know, that's what many times we get caught up in. But the Bible teaches that God looks beyond all of that. He looks at the heart. And it's so much better to be attracted to marry someone that has Jesus in their heart. Oh, I don't know what I would do without a godly wife. She loves the Lord. Such a blessing. Such a blessing. Believers and unbelievers. I would like to take this even a step further. And I believe that the Bible would teach that unbelievers are not to be our buddies. They're not to be our close acquaintances. I once heard a quote, and I'm gonna butcher it a little bit, but I'm going to get it close. It says, more than, and it lists a whole multitude of things, more than the food he eats, the clothes he wears, the music he listens to, all down. The quote says, a young man is as the people he keeps company with. That's the seriousness of our friends. That's the seriousness of our friends. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We are called to be separate. So then how do we mingle with unbelievers? Well, once again, I believe from the teachings of Jesus and what the Bible teaches, we are to spend time with unbelievers, but it's the agenda of the kingdom of God, and that's to bring them to the point of repentance. To show them Jesus. Not to be their buddy. Not to be sucked in. But to show them Jesus. What fellowship, and this would go right along with the first one, what I'm talking about. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Different agendas. What communion hath light and darkness? What concord or agreement hath Christ with Belial? And it goes on to say, don't you understand that you, Brother Todd, are the temple of the living God? He dwells within you. He dwells within me. He cares about what we're doing. He cares about the people that we keep company with. He cares about the movies that we watch. Because if I'm watching it, who else is watching it? If Jesus is living inside of me and I'm watching it, who else is watching it? What communion hath light and darkness? How can the two mix? And then in verse 17, the call, be ye separate. If you forget everything else I said tonight, remember that phrase. Because there's a good chance you'll remember some other things that I said if you remember that phrase. Be ye separate. We're to be separate from what? We're to be separate from the things that were just listed above. We're to be separate from unbelievers. We're to be separate from unrighteousness. We're to be separate from darkness. We're to be separate from idols. In 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, I remember the rest of the 2:9, it says, "For ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." God calls everyone to be saved. But those of us that have accepted God's call, we're not just anyone. We're children of the Most High God. We're children of the King. Let's make sure we act like it. Let's make sure we follow Him. Let's make sure we know what kingdom we're following, what kingdom we're a part of. So if we're to be separate from that, what should we be focused on? In this verse in Matthew chapter 6, and I'm not going to read the whole passage. I'd wanted to read. I'm just going to talk a little bit about it. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34, it says, "Don't lay up treasures here on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up treasures where robbers can't break in and steal, where moth and rust, they don't exist." It says, don't be fearful about this life, about your provisions. Focus on God. And then in verse 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I struggled with that verse for a while, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, what does the kingdom of God look like? What am I supposed to be seeking? Is this church building the kingdom of God? Is my car the kingdom of God? Is my house the kingdom of God? This is a conclusion that I came to in studying the scriptures. The kingdom of God here on earth can only be people. Other things are used in God's kingdom. This church is used for God's kingdom, but it's not the kingdom of God. How I drew that conclusion was, I don't believe that when the eastern sky splits open from top to bottom and Jesus Christ Himself is coming back, and the Bible says that the earth is going to burn with a fervent heat, I don't believe that any part of the kingdom of God is going to burn. And everything that we see and touch, brothers and sisters, that's going to burn. Save those of you that have the blood of Jesus stamped upon your heart. We're not going to burn. The kingdom of God has to be, here on earth, it has to be people. And of course, God and Jesus and His Holy Spirit, because they're here as well, right? It has to be. So, what I've concluded, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God," and all this other stuff, food and clothes and all of our other needs, it says God will take care of that. Seek ye first other people's souls. Seek ye first. It's okay to work. We need to work, right? But go to work with the mindset, who can I talk about Jesus today? We don't have switches in our life. We try it sometimes, but it's evident. You can tell. We don't have switches. I don't live one way Monday through Saturday, and then I walk over and I hit the switch. It's time for the worship mark to show up at church, right? And that's where I lift my hands and I say hallelujah and amen. And it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. We're a part of one kingdom or the other, brothers and sisters. You're a member of one. Let's pay attention to which one we're a member of. You know, in Romans, if I could find it here really quick, in Romans, it gives us an idea of what the kingdom of God is. And I find this very, very interesting. I should have had this looked up. But in Romans chapter 14, verse 17 and 18, it says this. Now, I don't want to take this out of context. They're talking about, should I judge this brother if he eats this? Or should I judge this brother if he eats this? And the idea was, It's not the food, okay? That's not the issue here. In verse 17 it says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Did we experience those today? I trust we did. Are we experiencing those in our life? That's the kingdom of God. I really need to keep on moving. I'm going to tell you all a little bit about my background. And, you know, there's people out there with worse backgrounds than I. There's people out there that were in depths of sin that I wasn't. But you know what's amazing? I needed the blood of Jesus all the same. We were going to be neighbors in hell. Because I was going to the same place. When I was about 9 or 10, I grew up in a family of seven. There were seven of us. And I was second to the youngest. And we lived in Michigan, and we lived in a farmhouse, two-story house. And of course, I was upstairs in one of the bedrooms sharing it with siblings, right? That's almost a thing of the past, isn't it? I'm going to get sidetracked here, right? But we don't share bedrooms anymore. Like, everybody needs their own bedroom and their me time and, you know, that. When I grew up, there was like, I think at one time, it was maybe three or four of us in a bedroom, and it was all right. But we had bunk beds, right? That's how you got everybody on a bed. We had bunk beds. And I was on the bottom bunk, and I can remember going to bed that night. I don't remember what I was thinking about, what I was doing, but I remember falling asleep. And I had the most terrifying dream that I've ever had in my whole life. I dreamt that the trumpet sounded, and Jesus Christ himself came back, and it was so real. Oh, it was so real. Jesus came back, and at that time, I did not even experience fear in my heart. I think I was naive in my dream. But after a little while, I noticed, where's everyone at? My family was gone. My church was gone. And I was left here with strangers. That was the most terrifying feeling I think I've ever experienced. Well, it wasn't to a large degree, I think for the very first time, I felt in my heart the absence of the presence of God. Now, I want to tell you something. I was told by someone one time, and I understand his thought process, but I don't agree with his conclusion. And it was someone years ago I went to church with, and he stood behind the pulpit, and he said, if you became a Christian because you were afraid of going to hell, you became a Christian for the wrong reason. And that shook me to my core. And I went to, many of you would know Brother Bob Miller, Bob Amadea. I went to Brother Bob and I said, Bob, I'm in trouble here. Because I just heard today that I became a Christian for the wrong reason. Am I saved? It shook me. And I'll never forget Brother Bob's response. He said, from what I can tell, the only reasons that we would become saved initially are for selfish reasons. And I thought about that long and hard. And I drew the same conclusion. Now, this is the difference that I make. If we've been born again for a period of time, and our love for God has not grown, and we're at the same place that, you know, after being right with the Lord now for about 19 years, and I'm still at the place that I'm just saved because I don't want to go to hell, there's a problem. But if God did not want hell to move people, if God did not want really the fear of hell to move people and to give it as a warning, he would not have plastered its warning throughout all of Scripture. It's meant as a warning. It's meant as consequences to being a part of the kingdom of this world. That's the end result. So I was baptized when I was about 12. I still remember the title of my baptismal message, and it was, "All That Glitters Is Not Gold." That's a loaded title. It's meant a lot to me. All that glitters is not gold. And at some point in time, I don't know exactly when, but I did get involved in some stuff that led me away from the Lord. And the one I'm going to speak the most passionately about tonight is probably the one that I have received the most controversy about as well. So just bear with me. One of the things that Satan sidetracked me with was music. It was ungodly music. And it started out, I listened to country. And of course, it was never allowed in our home, so I had to do it on the slide. And if I knew Dad was going to drive my vehicle, I would change the station, right? I didn't want him to hear. I didn't want anybody to find out. But I listened to country music. And, you know, I'm not saying that every country music artist is whatever. It's not for me to say. But I will tell you my experience with country music. It started a life of impurity for me. It's sensual. It's, how many songs do you know of that talks about, you know, your buddy's wife, or he came and got your wife, and it's just filth, brothers and sisters. It has a different agenda than the kingdom of God. But whatever, I listened to country. Well, guess what? After a while, country wasn't enough, right? I said this statement one other time. Sin will take you farther than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay. Eventually, I won't go through all the music types, but eventually, I was listening to heavy, heavy, heavy metal music. This is the controversial part. Some of that heavy, heavy, heavy metal music had a Christian title. It was Christian rock and Christian rap. The heavier, the better. Some of those artists had growling voices. They screamed. They really mimicked groups like AC/DC. It started a path in my life that was not good. And maybe it doesn't have this much influence on everyone, but it did on me. It numbed my conscience. It numbed my spiritual senses. This might be humorous to some of you, but it's the truth. It affected how I dressed. It affected how I talked. At that point in my life, baggy, unkept pants hanging down way farther than they should have been. Right? What concord hath Christ with Belial? I went on that way. I was not always, I can't say as I was, well, I don't know. I didn't ask my mom and dad, I guess. I wouldn't say I was ever necessarily a mean person, but I wouldn't either say that I was really a pleasant person to be around. There was something missing. There was something missing. Something wasn't right. I like to give grace for offenses and hurts, right? But I believe that the believer that's on fire for Jesus and that is right with him never has to be offended. I believe that. And through some church, the church I was attending at the time, through some, you know, I wasn't right with Jesus anyway. It was just an excuse, if I'm honest. But through some situations that happened, I allowed those to affect me negatively, and I left that church. I was still living at home, and Mom and Dad told me, well, if you're going to live at home, you need to go to church on Sunday mornings. So I said, fair enough. There was one stretch where I went to six different churches, six different Sundays. I didn't care. I was in church. Hurrying my journey up here a little bit, Mom and Dad at one time suggested that I visit Lamb of God. It was a young church that just started. Lamb of God soon after that was a part of a tent revival in which they invited, or it was Nelson Koblenz tent revival. And I can remember being there that one evening, and lo and behold, he preached on music. And I'm forever grateful that he did. But I tell you what, you talk about the Holy Spirit of God raining down on a young man. I couldn't sit in my seat. I couldn't do it. I'm forever grateful that God moved him to speak that night on music. I rededicated my life to God, and you know I haven't been perfect since then. But I want to tell you something this evening, neither have I ever been the same. Freedom, right? I don't know all the words, but there's a song that really has blessed me. The name of it is Glorious Freedom. Once I was bound by sin's galling fetters. That was my life. That was my life. It wasn't drugs. It wasn't alcohol. But my friends were young people from town, from the world. What kept me pure? What kept me from choosing an ungodly woman? It has to be the grace of God. It has to be. I think it was the night right after he spoke about ungodly music. He said that we're going to have a bonfire here tomorrow night. And he encouraged us to bring our music and to throw it into the fire. And I want to tell you something. I say this, and it is very pointed. Do you know there was some Toby Mac CDs that got burned that night? Now, any of you that are not as old as I am, he has changed his music to some degree. But I can remember being at a concert before I got right with the Lord, and it was something called Winter Jam in Fort Wayne. Winter Jam. And the two main singers were Toby Mac and Michael Tate. And I can remember being there, and as the music was so loud, it didn't bother me. I was just sitting there, numb like I always was, just doing life, right? The music was so loud, and the neon lights were flashing, that even in an ungodly state, I knew it wasn't Christian. It couldn't be. My goodness, at one point in night, and I don't remember which artist it was, but he crowd surfed. But, you know, there was an invitation given, and thousands of people thronged to the altar. Now, I want to quickly say, I'm not saying that none of those people found Jesus that night, because I believe that's the power of God Almighty. He can use whomsoever he will. I believe that. But I would also tell you as young people, those aren't good places to go looking to try to find the Lord. It's not wise. My conclusion with my testimony, and I'm going to stop it right there, but my conclusion is, it's an oxymoron to say that there's Christian rock and Christian rap. There must only be one or the other. You know, because God doesn't share his glory in any other form or fashion, why would he share it in our praise? We can take the world's growl and the world's trash and we can throw some good words to it, and all of a sudden it must be pleasing to him? That's not how it works. Amen? That's not how it works. We hear things like, we hear terms like, Todd and I were talking about this, you know, hey, Brother Todd, what kind of music do you like? And he might tell me, well, Brother Mark, what kind of music do you like? What is the purpose of music? I'm not saying we're not blessed by it or encouraged, but my studying, the primary use of music is an outlet of our praise and in our honor to God Almighty. Would the better question not rather be, what kind of music does God like? Am I arrogant enough that I think that it's about me? It's just food for thought. A couple other areas, moving on from my testimony. I told you I was going to be passionate about music, and I am all day long. You know, because it's just something I've been freed from. One more really quick thing. The long-lasting effects of music is years later, I pull up to a stoplight in Fort Wayne, and of course it was summertime. Everyone had their windows down, and the car right next to me had a secular group playing that I enjoyed when I was going through that stage of my life. And you know what, brothers and sisters, I quickly rolled my windows up because it still aroused the flesh. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you watch. What? Don't you know that you are the temple of the living God? We walk circumspectly. We walk as wise, not as foolish. God is not slack concerning his promise. Whatever we sow, we will also reap. Separate kingdoms were to be called out, were to be called separate, were to be separate. A couple of other things, really quick in closing. Business partnerships. These may be more for us and not the young people. Business partnerships. Remember, we have two different goals, two different agendas. Our visions are not the same. Don't be yoked together with an unbeliever. I don't care how much money you can make. Whatever figure you can make in this business proposition, if you compromise this teaching as scripture, whatever the number is, it's not enough. It's not enough. Because there's no amount of money that is worth taking that risk. Another one is political involvement. My eyes were opened this past year that the separation of the two kingdoms has squirrely lines, doesn't it? You know what, brothers and sisters? God's children were never meant to be a part of that. God's children were never meant to be a part of that. Well, but I have this desire in me to make a difference. Well, then go make one. Of course. Then go make one. But do it the right way. Don't try to make a difference compromising God's word. Do you know what broke my heart? I have never before witnessed a president that was going to be our savior, much like I did among the Christian people with Donald Trump. He's got to get in. I told someone in hindsight, I don't think he could win because God doesn't share his glory with his children. And anytime a man is lifted up as being our savior, well, I wouldn't go that far. Oh, yes, I would go that far to say that. Donald Trump was going to save us. All the while deeming Joe Biden as a sinner. A vile, vile man. And you know what? His life doesn't align with the Word of God. I'm not making excuses. But you want to know what else? Neither does Donald Trump's. Let's not forget that he's married to his third woman. Let's not forget that in his campaigns, he supported the homosexual world because he wanted their support. What all is included in the kingdom of this world? You know, I sound very anti-American by what I'm about to say, but I believe it in my soul. I believe it in my soul that the United States of America was never a part of the kingdom of God. While they had more godly morals at one time than they do today, brothers and sisters, this is not our home. We're just passing through. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what will I do? In Hebrews, it says that they longed for and they looked for and they sought a city whose foundation was not laid with hands. A city that was not built with hands, but was built by God himself. I'm not anti-American. I'm not anti-USA. I'm not anti. But neither can I pledge allegiance to this nation. My allegiance is to God alone. My allegiance is to God alone. Don't be politically involved. If we were to be politically involved, the greatest men in all of Christianity history chose not to be. The very first disciples and apostles, Jesus himself, he didn't go that route. Jesus said in a passage I read last night, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my people fight. This is not our home. This is not our kingdom. It broke my heart to see clips of news, which I've really altogether just stopped watching. The news is not a place to spend a lot of time. There's a lot of news in here that we still don't know about. And let's just study this. Amen. Let's spend our time there. I'm not saying be knowingly ignorant of what's. I'm not saying that. Just be careful of your involvement. But it broke my heart in seeing a couple of pictures of at rallies. The rallies were littered with Anabaptist people. What are we doing? Why are we there? Who are we supporting? Let's never forget whose kingdom we're a part of. One of my favorite songs is, I'm going home to die no more. Let's remember that this world is not our home. The money, the politics, the fame, the glory. Brothers and sisters, it's all going to burn. We're called to be separate. Let's be separate. We were called to be holy. Let's be holy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight, Lord. I just pray that you would move among us. You would show us, Lord. You would show me the path that you have for us. God, help us to be separate. Help us not to mar ourselves with the world. Help us not to give sacrifices that stink of the world, Lord, and expect you to be satisfied. Help us to remember that our bodies are your temple, and you reside in us, and we want to be vessels that you are pleased to reside in. Father, please be with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I would just ask for one verse of song this evening. The cry this evening is, Have you entered into, in any area, have you entered into the enemy's camp? Have the lines gotten squiggly? Have they crossed paths? Were you reminded of something tonight that I've gotten involved in something that's not a part of God's kingdom and it needs to be repented of? If you have, please make it right. Please rid yourself of that weight, that bondage, that you can be free in the Lord and you can walk as a new person. I know what it's like, brothers and sisters. I know what it's like. Freedom is always better than bondage every single time. Could we sing? Amen. I trust all is well, and I trust we are all pressing on in the kingdom of God. It's the only place to be. You are dismissed. God bless you.